Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Happy Thursday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer. We got Dennis here. Joel still on vacation, but he'll be back in a couple of days. Every time Joel and or Dennis goes out of town, it seems something interesting always happens. In this case, yesterday was notable because the NASDAQ officially entered, if you're into labels, correction territory. We are down 10% from the all-time highs in the queues. We'll talk about that. We will talk about just the broad-based sell-off yesterday and kind of a broad-based rally here this morning. China is up because the People's Bank in China lowered a key interest rate there. We have some earnings to talk about. Airlines are on our radar. Netflix is on our radar. Sony's on my radar. We will get to all of that and your questions. Mark Chaikin and Peter Tuckman are our guests. So hit that like button and wake up your household because our show is starting right now.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Conan, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
Dennis, you're in a fast market this morning. What's going on?
Yeah, it's busy, man. So much chop. Yeah, so much chop. Lots of overnight positions here.
1 second. Just want to make sure that there's no echo, guys. If you guys in the comments hear an echo, please let us know. I did hear an echo during the intro. I don't know if that was Spencer or I. I'm trying to just locate it.
Okay, appreciate that.
I don't hear an echo on my end, so we'll just make sure that we don't hear an echo, so we'll get confirmation from the chat. LZC says none, no echo this morning, so just the intro is echoing a bit. Perfect right now. The GOAT says it's perfect. Let's rock and roll. Spencer, Israel, what's going on?
Oh, I mean, here's a chart of your SPY from the last couple of days, so you can see that, you know, it's been going down pretty consistently. I'm more interested in the Qs, though. If I can bring up that chart for you, because as I said, we have officially entered what they call a correction, a 10% decline. If you are in ARK and you are seeing all these NASDAQ people freaking out that they're down 10%, you're probably laughing at them because you're like, 10%?
Like 10%? I wish I was down 10%.
I could fall 10% in my sleep and not.
Earth falls 10% a day. What is these people complaining about?
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, your Qs don't look great. Your IWM looks actually borderline scary here right now. If you just look at that chart,
looks like it's ready to fall off the cliff.
It's falling, Dennis. It's falling is what it's doing. So not great there. You know, Bitcoin up a little bit, Ethereum up a little bit today. But those charts, that's not Bitcoin. But those charts also don't look super ideal.
Absolutely nothing looks great right now. I mean, we had value trade working the first 2 weeks of the year. That has started rolling over. Awful candle for Berkshire Hathaway yesterday. The banks have been going down, even despite having the decent reports. Morgan Stanley, Bank of America giving it all back. I mean, this is the market where you sell the rip and you don't ask questions. because buying the dip hurts. Selling the rip has never felt better. So you're buying something, get out on those rips. Yesterday morning, same thing. I tweeted it out around 10, or actually around 9:45 when we ripped early in the morning. I tweeted it out and said, you know, when we were ripping higher, I was like, don't forget to sell the rip. And here we look, you know, and that S&P was around, or SPY was around 458, 458 and a half then. Close at 451.75. I mean, it seems like, remember 2020, when every time you sold something, you instantly regretted it?
Yeah, that was
It's fun. like literally 2 days later, you were regretting it. This is the exact opposite. Whenever you buy something here, you're regretting it 2 days later. I've tried to do some swing trade longs here. They're not working. Swing shorts are working very well. Swing longs just not working. You keep getting stopped out. I haven't really added anything to the long-term account. I nibbled a little bit of IWM before the fall. It was a mistake. I nibbled a little bit of XBI before the fall. It was a mistake. I'm still sitting. I've actually sold, because I sold some Qs back when we rallied. So I've actually probably increased my total cash holdings. I'm still sitting around over 35% cash. Usually I'm around 15 to 20 if I'm average invested. I'm sitting with a lot of cash right now. So I'm obviously not as I'm not concerned enough to like say, get the hell out and raise up to 50% cash. But I've raised the cash because I am somewhat concerned that this correction could continue.
Yeah.
Or an awful day too. Yesterday. Gets a downgrade today. Yeah, that's an ugly candle. I mean, on a rally here now, you probably want to be getting, you know, lightening up on it. It's tough because you're looking here and you're like, oh yeah, we want to buy. I mean, besides the Cathy stocks that have really been hammered, I mean, there's a lot of stocks here that it just kind of started yesterday. So if they're going to start coming into the value names and start hitting those stocks now too, it's a tough tape. So I think, you know, if you're just looking, you got to be in. What are you buying? We're going to make so much money. You got to be thinking defensive more here. You got to be getting defensive. I know some people have been hit really hard in some of those growthy names, but there's a lot of people that are actually still doing pretty well. Like I said, my long-term portfolio is right near all-time highs. Like, it's off a little bit here, maybe 3, 4%, but it's because it's got a lot of those value names. It's got a lot of that stuff in it. You know, part of me thinks I should just liquidate because we're going to go down 20%. Part of me thinks that we're going to go down 20% on, you know, on the Qs. I think, you know, we're down 10. I think we could go down 20.
Halfway there.
But yeah, but part of me thinks, like, what if I'm wrong? So I don't want to, like, liquidate and you know, then all of a sudden, you know, be regretting, oh my goodness, I went to cash and there was no reason. Because you do have the Fed that they're going to raise rates, but if the market gets ugly enough, they'll start, you know, they'll start cooling talks a bit. They're going to raise, no doubt, in March. But, I mean, this talk of 7 or 8 rate hikes over the next 5 or 6, or even, you know, somebody was saying 13 rate hikes in the next 2 years. I mean, I don't see any of that happening. Jamie Dimon saying 7 rate hikes this year. I don't see that happening. Because, one, if they keep talking like that, the market's going to continue to leak, and we know this Fed is more market-dependent than data-dependent, it seems like.
Well, they've said that themselves.
They will defend the market.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look here, I think if you're all cash, you definitely probably want to get some money working and some stuff. I mean, SPY is coming up to critical support. If you look back in the December lows, 450, we bounced out of there back in early December. We're coming to retest that. And actually, it actually coincides nicely with the 451 low as well, yesterday's low from December 20th. So a month later, we're retesting again. But again, remember, this is the market that I don't think it's just going to rip higher and you're going to miss it. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, and maybe some of these Cathy stocks are so beat up that maybe there is going to be, you know, a 5, 10, 20% heater one day, like ripping higher, and you'd be like, wow, I missed it. But I don't mind if I miss it here because I think the risk is just too high to call the bottom.
And just to put this into context, this stat is courtesy of Beastbook, but the NASDAQ, if I can go back to that for a minute, is off to its fourth worst start to a year in the first 12 days. It's the fourth worst first 12-day stretch for a year ever in the NASDAQ. But that in and of itself is not necessarily indicative of what will happen the rest of the year, because the worst start to a year ever for the NASDAQ was 08, which was a really bad year. But then, like, the third worst year was 09, which ended up being, like, an amazing buying opportunity. So it's not always clear, what the first few weeks of the year portend for the rest of the year. But it just
it's never clear.
Right.
I mean, we can take whatever fancy stats and look at it, but, you know, you're projecting stuff out. Nobody knows anything. You're always going to find the analysts on CNBC because they cherry pick the analysts that have the right call. They're like, man, everybody's a genius. You know, they'll go find the analysts that was bearish, you know, to start this year. They'll go find the analysts that were bullish last year. They'll go find the analysts that got the 4,500 price target on. I mean, it's Twitter is the same way. When you're reading there, you think everybody's making money except me. That's the feel you get because nobody talks about their losers. They don't have the guts to do it. They want, you know, everybody to think that they're just a trading god. I mean, I have losers all the time, every single day. Lots of losers. Make lots of stupid trades. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Don't believe the hype. Not everybody's getting rich without you. And I will tell you, a lot of retail traders got killed last year. Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot, you know, a lot of these Twitter traders got killed. They were telling you to go in all these Clover stocks, all these short squeeze stocks. Those did not work out. So don't believe that everybody is making money except you. Nobody's doing great in this market. I mean, the traders are doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good on a day trading perspective. But swing trading, I'm not doing any swing trades right now. You know, I'm not making any money swing trading right now. It's all day trading. And long-term investing, my portfolio is leaking a little bit. It's probably down 4 or 5%. It basically moves with SPY. I mean, I'm so QQQ and I'm so, you know, Apples and Amazons and all them. I basically move with the SPY. So
you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for the 27th because that's when Robinhood reports. And I want to know how many new accounts they had last quarter. You know what I mean? Because last quarter was, you know, we're talking now 2, 3, 4 quarters in a row where growth was out of favor, right? So I want to see how their new account, how their new accounts changed at the end of last year. That could be a barometer for you know, retail sentiment going forward. Not every
Robinhood chart. Okay. I'm telling you, like, I get one every single day. Are you buying Robinhood? Are you buying Robinhood? Are you buying Robinhood? This is like the last 6 months. Are you buying Robinhood? When are you buying Robinhood? I tried a couple times, but I got stopped out. So I tried it. I tried it twice, I think. I actually was up in it for a bit. I think I tried it back in like November. You see like the 35s when he had 3-4 lows. And then he had to move up to like 37. I was like, oh yeah, I'm the man. I got the bottom. And then boom, the candle comes down, cuts through. I'm out. I'm making new lows. It's out. So I got stopped out and lost. You know, I lose like a buck.
Just to be clear.
You come back in. It's okay to exit the trade and re-enter. You know, like if it breaks down, like that 20 breakdown, once it broke through 20, you knew there's going to be troublesome waters ahead. And you know what? You can always short it through those levels too. You know, I know I don't advocate like to newer traders to short stocks, but if you're an active day trader and you want to do this as a business, if you don't add shorting stocks to your tools, I mean, you're going to be always fighting the tape in a bear market and not making any money. I trade market neutral, so I have equal longs and equal shorts. Stocks are breaking down, I'll short them. Stocks, you know, is rallying for a stupid reason, I'll short it. You just got to, you know, have, you know, a more balanced approach to the market. So not like I'm all in short the market, I'm bearish, but, you know, from a day trading perspective, I kind of want to trade market neutral because I don't know what it's going to do the next day.
We are going to have Mark on in a couple minutes. We haven't gotten to earnings yet. We will get to that after Mark. I just wanted to make a note. Dennis talked about, you know, safety, right? Not everything is breaking down, just to be clear. If you want to extrapolate the sell the rip trend, you may want to look at stocks like Coke, right? All-time high yesterday. Pepsi, all-time high yesterday. Hershey, all-time high. You're right, defensive. Mondelez, all-time high. Gold stocks ripped yesterday. Right? Look at ticker gold. Look at Barrick Gold there.
Yeah.
Huge day, right? So it's not as if, just to be clear, not everything is down. There are
those stocks go up in a down market. They're counter. They have actually, if you look at, you know, a lot of those stocks, they actually have a negative correlation with the overall market. So sometimes they have no correlation like gold. But, you know, when it really gets tough, gold will get bought. And that's what we had a lot of fear yesterday because they started hammering the value. They started hammering the growth. They were hammering both. So they were hiding in consumer staples because Procter & Gamble had a pretty good report and they were hiding in gold. eventually they'll come for those hiding places too. If you really think, if we start, if your right. projections are that we're going to lose 20% on the S&P and you're buying stocks, you're doing it wrong. If you think the S&Ps are going down 20%, you short stocks, you don't buy Procter & Gamble. But you have long-only portfolios that don't know what to do with their cash, and they're nervous, so they're rebalancing, and they're getting in a little more conservative stuff to try to lock in their gains that way because they have to stay invested. You as an individual trader have no mandate. You don't have to stay invested. If you think the market's going down 20%, you short stocks. I don't know if it's doing that. I'm not advocating to short stocks. I'm just saying I don't think we're out of the woods here. I don't think because we're rallying 18 handles today that this party's over. I don't think because China's lifting that, you know, we're, you know, the bear party's over. I think we still have path of least resistance is still lower. So that keeps me out of swing longs right now and makes me still, you know, leaning a little bit on the short side of my day trading, but not bottom picking and trying to load up my investment portfolio. Not yet.
Right. And the idea here is that, like, quote unquote, defensive sectors like utilities and consumer staples will typically hold up better than cyclical sectors like technology. But that doesn't mean they have to, that they can't go down. They very well can and will go down in a prolonged bear market. They will just typically not go down as much. That's kind of the key word there. But don't assume that Hershey, Coke, and all these defensive, all these food stocks are primed to just go higher regardless, even though they're at all-time highs right now.
And yeah. If the market turns, if the Cathy stocks turn, those stocks will go lower. They're going to move opposite with the Cathy stocks.
Yep. All right. So we will get to the earnings after Mark. Let's bring on Mark Chaykin, though. I want to know how he's feeling. Yesterday, I sent him an email confirming for today. He said he is going to I don't want to misquote him. He said he'll have his crash helmet on. Uh-oh. Mark.
Here it comes. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
He's got the crash helmet on.
There we go. Before I get into the market scenario, I wanted to amplify on what Dennis said. What I've been doing in my accounts is selling naked calls on stocks that I actually like that are breaking down, which is a different way to get your head in the right direction if you are in a downtrend slash bear market. So rather than give up some long positions that I like long term, selling out of the money calls. Premiums are still really high. And
so selling covered calls, you meant?
Well, but even on stocks that I've stopped myself out of.
Okay, so you're out of it, but you still kind of like it. I get it.
Yeah, so like stopped out of Unity Software, but
I got stopped out on it too.
Yeah, still selling covered calls way above the market and getting nice premiums. And from a margin point of view, if you're not a day trader, the requirements melt away when they stop, you know, when they get further from the strike price. So really efficient way. And as you say, you're generating profits. You look at your, you know, P&L and hey, I made 8,000 or 6,000 today. And then you stop fussing over some of the other stuff. But let's get to the other stuff.
I mean, everybody's asking questions like I get, and I'm sure you get it too, Mark, is like, what are you buying? What are you buying? What are you buying? And I respond like, well, right now in the long-term portfolio, I'm not buying much. Every time I try to buy something, I get stopped out on it. But what are you buying? Ford. Are you buying anything?
Ford. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Made a new all-time high 2 days ago. They may be the serious competitor to Tesla in the space. Everybody's raving about the 150 and, it's selling like crazy. So I think there's a cyclical play. It came down nicely yesterday, could have a little more downside. That's a stock you like. I don't get caught up in the defensive, particularly consumer staples, although Procter & Gamble and Keurig Dr. Pepper have very bullish ratings and PepsiCo. But as you say, the upside on those is somewhat capped, and you're really betting on a bear market or something akin to a bear market. So where are we? We're in pullback mode now, down 6% on the S&P. In theory, we're in correction mode on the QQQs, down over 10%. And the statistic that stood out that I think spooked everybody who reads that kind of stuff is that as of Friday, 50% of the stocks in the NASDAQ composite were down 40% or more. So there's been a stealth bear market. First in the stay-at-home, shop-at-home stocks, which peaked, I don't know, maybe 12 months ago.
February, yeah.
Yeah, now in the Cathie Wood type stocks, you know, the growth stocks that you might or might not want to own long-term with no earnings. And with regards to Cathie, rather than looking for those stocks to rally, I'm going to go back to an old Wall Street adage, which is that a bear market doesn't end until the last bull throws in the towel. And based on her comments yesterday, Cathie is not throwing in the towel. She actually said there's a bubble in value stocks. Yeah. I mean, this woman has lost it. She really has lost it. So her assets in the big fund have shrunk to around $12 billion. Morningstar is the place to get the most accurate AUM.
So she's
value.
Seeing some redemptions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, on a given day, 365 million, 500. There hasn't been a flood. But when you see the flood, that may be when this stealth bear market in these no-earning, high-potential tech stocks ends.
Here, I'll pull up a visualization of the flows into ARK right now.
Sure, that's interesting.
Just to give you an idea,
where do you get that, Spencer? I have a hard time finding that.
Yeah,
I never write down the website. The publisher.
It's a bit of a moving target. I will admit there are a few different sources, and they won't all say the same information. This site that I use that is free. You can even just Google like ETF fund flow tool. It's from ETF.com.
Okay.
And this is just a visualization of this is just ARKK. So yeah. And this is going back two years now, right? But you can see the crazy inflows end of 2020, early 2021, and the massive inflows have stopped. They've long since stopped. Right. And now, as Mark
it was
said,
all inflows. It was only people buying ARK up till February.
Right.
Basically, nonstop inflows. Look at that. That's unbelievable that there's hardly any. Like, this is like daily. Is that daily candles looking at?
This is daily. So we
almost every single day, there's net inflows going into that fund. And you know, she just got too much money thrown at her, and I don't think she knew what to do with it.
We talked about this before, too, is like, when was the top? Also, it was right after. Right, it was February, right? It was right after.
Max flows.
Right, exactly. So as Mark just said, it's not like there's been a waterfall of outflows, but the inflows have stopped coming. You can see here, it's just a, you know, it's basically she's losing assets on a net basis, but it's not a crazy amount. But you know, the parade of
it looks kind of like there's some inflows and outflows. When you start seeing that chart all outflows, that's when we're going to start to get to the bottom, Mark.
Exactly.
When you start to see the mirror image of what we saw in 2020, where it's just all outflows, because then you'll get into a situation where she's got to start liquidating stuff.
Yeah. Well, she's already in that situation. They had a big tax bill. I don't know if anybody realizes it's one of the few ETFs that distributed capital gains last year.
And she had that one day where she sold a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, she sold a bunch of stocks. So maybe it's not, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not Kathy throwing in the towel, because I don't think she's wired that way to ever admit that her style and strategy don't work. But maybe it's when the investors throw in the towel and
I think
start
so.
Liquidating.
All right.
So, and also, if you're being sort of influenced by comparisons to 2000, instead of looking at the QQQs, I think you look at ARKK. And there you're seeing the capitulation. So where are we headed from here? Today should be an up day because of this pattern I've noted on here that really turnaround Thursday goes both ways. If you look at the 5 days leading up to Thursday's price action, this goes back to a guy named George Angle from the 90s who traded the E-mini futures. Thursday will reverse whatever happened typically in the 4 to 5 days leading up to it. So that sets us up for a bounce in here. I think the 4,500 level, maybe 4,450, 4,500 is critical. One thing to note, pullbacks typically last a month and reverse very quickly and make new highs. That's the pattern. We've used that chart many times in our webinars. That's the pattern that Ned Davis identified 5 years ago. So anything between 5 and 10% on a closing basis in the S&P typically lasts 4 weeks. And then within 4 weeks, you rally to make a new high. So unless the Fed is really going to, you know, push the brake pedal through the floorboard and make a big policy error, we should see a bounce in here into mid-February at some level from 4,450 to 4,500.
That would keep with this trend of chop, right? You know, that we've seen. So makes some sense.
But one thing that I'd like to point out for people who are wringing their hands is that we are going into the midterm elections. If the Democrats lose the Senate and the House, Biden is basically a lame duck for 2 years. And who you know, the biggest concern is the economy and inflation. And right now, Biden has basically encouraged or not discouraged what the Fed wants to do. And, you know, it's interesting that Powell has enlisted a lot of Wall Street to help get his message across. Jamie Dimon, the analyst, the strategist at Goldman, who was way ahead of the curve with 4 rate hikes. When's he going to break? You know, if we were to, let's say we were down 20% in the S&P, that means the NASDAQ would be down 28, then the IWM would be down probably 35%, call it 30. What's Biden's, you know, sort of incentive to let that keep going with an election coming up in just 11 months? He's totally out of power if that happens. Could Powell make a policy error? Yeah, he's in the middle of doing it right now, potentially tightening into a recession, or a lot of people think there's a recession coming because what inflation is doing. So
could the ugly word potentially happen, where we go into stagflation, where the economy actually starts to go into a recession, inflation still is sticky? Can that happen?
It's possible. It happened in the 70s, late 70s. I sort of doubt it, because the central banks have become much more proactive than they were in the 70s. But at some point, and that's why they're raising rates, I think, you're pushing on a string. If rates are down very low, they're not anymore. And remember, it's the rapid pace of rate rises that really spooks the market. If we get a period, and I don't know when it happens, if it happens, where rates sort of level off, have a couple of down days or a down week, then, you know, this re-rating of price earnings ratios on tech stocks will, in theory, stop. But it's a tough environment, as you say, for swing trading and for investing. But if you're looking at stocks like Ford, maybe a K-Rig Dr. Pepper, which I really like because it's
all right.
They got two plays here. And still some of the building stocks, some of the stocks that support. Remember, the home building numbers were phenomenal yesterday. And there are plenty of solid companies that support home building.
The market doesn't seem convinced of that yet, but yes.
Well, interest rates. You know, hey, everything, it's all machines now. It's not men. My partner, Carlton Neal, wrote a piece yesterday saying there are no more investment committees on Monday who parse all the data and decide what to do. It's just machines. And the machines say higher interest rates, sell the home builders. It's like, it's very knee-jerk, but it does drive the market on a
headline-driven too. I mean, we see it all the time where you get a headline, it's like, oh, and then, you know, you see the whipsaw the other way because the headline didn't have all the details in it. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody actually reads the story and it's like, oh, that headline was misleading. I mean, I see it on news all the time where you see a boom, it's a knee-jerk reaction, stock rallies. And then they're like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. Devil's in the details here. Machines don't read the details.
Well, so one comment here. Oh, sorry, Spencer. Oh,
go ahead.
One comment that you can't lose sight of the ball. And odds are this bull market is not over. It's just how we get to the next new wave. And I think you got to start looking at the stocks that you like long term. Look at Activision Blizzard. Why did Microsoft buy them? The metaverse. You know, they said they want to increase their game portfolio, but it's the metaverse. So if you go back to the stocks that are going to drive the metaverse, NVIDIA, which is, I think, giving you an attractive buying opportunity down here, Unity Software, maybe Roblox. I'm not sure what the fundamentals really look like. They're either acquisition candidates, not NVIDIA, but or they're where you want to be long term. And I think you have to look for comfortable buying opportunities in stocks like this. Now you're catching a javelin, admittedly. Yeah. I don't like doing that.
Yes. It's a great point, Mark. It's stocks that I'm looking at too on my wish list from growth. You just named them all. Unity would be right there. I've tried it a couple times. I keep getting stopped out because it keeps going lower. NVIDIA, I would like to get back in. I sold it, unfortunately, right during the whole COVID crisis. I'd love to get my stock back. So if it was to come down a little bit lower, I'd probably jump back into that too. Roblox is interesting in itself too. It's been cut in half in 2 months. Incredible, really, when you think about it. $141 down to 76. You got huge support down at 70. I think if you were to get down to that 70 level, another 10% lower from here, I think you do find buyers in Roblox.
Yeah, and Trade Desk. I still love Trade Desk. It's trading.
I've looked at that one for a while.
Wow, that's come down too. These are all coming to good support. So you're coming into levels where if you want to nibble, I mean, we're not going to, you know, maybe the market's going to bite your hand off. But look, the November low, going to Joel Conan's levels theory, 68.46, yesterday's low, 68.34. So interesting, coincides perfectly there. So you got a critical support level, and you can always buy stocks on support. When they breach support, you sell them. So if you want, you could take a shot.
Yeah, and as you say, there could be an upside surprise. Let's say we make a low in here in the next couple of days, and we rally into a February peak, and some of these shorts start to cover. I don't know, because so much is dependent on the Fed and whether or not Powell has his, you know, hand on the nuclear button or just the brake and the gas pedal. And, you know, if he goes nuclear and four rate hikes with one a 50 basis point hike to tell people he's serious, you know, that's the equivalent of shock and awe in the Iraq war. Then all bets are off because the market is so sensitive to the short-term pace of interest rates. So wish we could be on next week because I think there's going to be a buying opportunity in the cards. So that's why I wanted to leave on a positive note. I just don't think you can walk away from the stocks that you want to own at this point. You just have to, as Dennis said, be prepared for a little bit of short-term pain if you're a long-term investor.
Mark Chaykin joins our show every other Thursday. He is the creator of Chaykin Money Flow, Chaykin Power Gauge, several of the Chaykin Oscillator, several other long-standing indicators. Mark, always a pleasure. Have a good rest of the week.
Be well. By the way, I didn't have my seatbelt on, Spencer.
That's right. Nor were you actually wearing a helmet. I was half expecting a helmet.
Do you know what that does to the little hair I have left? The helmet doesn't work. All right. Be well, guys. Dennis, be my trading buddy since we're trading the same stocks.
Yeah. We'll get in there. We're going to get in some of these stocks here eventually, Mark. Eventually, we'll get a bottom. I don't know what to say, though. Obviously, we're initial jobless claims. We're getting a little lift here in the market right now. So keep that in mind. If you are trading stocks, we are seeing some pretty good movement here right now on that 830 number. Thanks for warning me, Spencer.
Initial jobless claims.
Thanks for warning me again, Spencer.
Come on.
Sold. I'm like,
Time out. Okay. Initial jobless claims. Yes, can move things, but more, it's a weekly indicator. It doesn't move the market every single week.
Today,
the jobless claim came in dramatically higher than the estimate. So this is a case of what, bad news is good news, I guess, because this isn't great news, right? 296,000 jobless claims filed last week versus a 220,000 estimate and a 230,000 figures for the week prior. So more jobless claims isn't an inherent, it's not an inherently good thing, but I guess bad news is good news here is what that, I don't know, I'm interpreting. No idea. But anyway, let's go to the earnings here for a second. We had United last night and American reporting this morning, and they both seem to just say the same thing, which is that the recovery in airline, in their business, in business travel specifically, has not yet happened. And if anything, Omicron has just delayed that recovery a couple quarters is basically the tone that both companies were striking on their conference call and in their statements and in interviews. So here's the UAL chart. Let's move to an intraday chart. You can see the reaction. So we dropped off that report last night, bouncing this morning. AAL looks almost identical to that. So yeah, but that's the takeaway. Recovery has not yet happened.
I thought there was going to be a reopening rally here. That has failed in the last 3 days miserably. I bought a bunch of reopening stocks, stopped out on all of them. Again, remember, when you're doing stuff and you're trying to swing longs, you got to stop yourself out. And, you know, I tried a couple of them and immediately they started breaking down a new low. So, I mean, interesting, American Airlines. I didn't try this stock, but interesting CEO comments. He's on there on CNBC saying, well, the leisure travelers, because Becky Quick asking great question, like, why are the airline tickets so cheap right now? And they really are. I mean, you can fly, she was saying, to California.
I guess it depends. I've noticed
where you're going.
I've noticed that they've gotten cheaper in the last month, but a month ago or 2 months ago, it was crazy. So maybe things have changed in the last couple
weeks. They went up a little bit.
No, they went down a lot in the last couple of weeks. Like, it was insane. I was looking at flights to Vegas, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, and it was ridiculous. Things have come down since then. So maybe, but anyway, finish that thought.
So she asked, you know, what, you know, why are the airline tickets so cheap? You know, how's the business doing? He's like, well, the leisure traveler has come back strong, but the business traveler has not come back. He says, eventually the business travel is going to come back and then we'll be operating business as usual. And I'm like, I even tweeted out, I was like, you think the business travelers coming back like it was in 2019? There was a lot of businesses that say, I save a hell of a lot of money doing a Zoom call or, you know, a call on Cisco WebEx or on, you know, call on any of the other Microsoft Teams. There's a million of them there now. The business traveler, this even example, CFA Institute, which I've obviously been involved with for a long time. That was on their Capital Markets Policy Council. We used to have meetings every 6 months and we'd go and we'd meet all over the place. Like, I've flown to Japan, I've flown, you know, having different meetings. They fly us around. These meetings were expensive. That's all done through virtual calls now. So these meetings, you know, they've cut serious expenses there. And, you know, and it's a nonprofit organization. I mean, there is a lot of businesses and business travel that's not coming back.
Sure.
So they can say on there, oh yeah, the business traveler is eventually coming back. It's not. And that's why long-term, the airlines are just still bad bets, because they rely so much on that business travel. I mean, you know, you think about, you know, a first class ticket, which is your business travelers buying those, and they're 3-4 times as much in some cases as the coach tickets. So you're jumping in, you think it's going to be, you know, just business as usual. I'm going to go back to COVID levels 2019. I think the leisure travel that, you know, obviously is going to come back and maybe come back stronger than it even was back in 2019. But that business travel is not coming back like it was. And that's a serious issue for the airlines.
I've flown for Benton on business trips, but I'm unfamiliar with this business class you speak of, Dennis.
Oh, you don't get to fly in the business class with Benzinga?
No. I don't know what that is.
So, well, and a lot of other businesses aren't going to know what it is either, because I don't think it's coming back like it was. I don't, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, I'm not seeing, you know, the forest through the trees or something. But I just think there's going to be a lot of businesses that say, look, we save hundreds of thousands of dollars by doing virtual meetings now, and millions of dollars in bigger cases, you know, a bigger business. I think you're going to see a lot of that business travel never come back.
Just anecdotally, my parents are in Florida right now, and they flew down. Granted, they flew Frontier, which is a discount airline, but they flew down for like $70 a person round trip. It was
cheap right now.
Ridiculous. So, yeah.
My buddy just flew to Florida, same thing. He said that the plane was about 2/3 full, and the tickets, he was just doing the math on, he's like, they're losing a lot of money on this flight because my tickets weren't even expensive. It was only 2/3 full. And, you know, just figuring, you know, you got your stewardess, you got two pilots, you got all the fuel. He's like, there's no way they're making money on this plane, like not even covering the variable costs.
Well,
it's tough, man. Tough business for the airlines. Real tough.
What can they do then, other than just cut back supplies? Is all they can do is cut back on the routes, I guess. But I don't know. All right. And then, just on the earnings front here, we have Netflix tonight, so that's relevant, obviously. Yeah. For those watching the Netflix report, the implied volatility here is 8%. So what does that come out to? We're talking like, what's that, $40-something? $48 or something like that. So that'll be your implied move.
Beat up going into the report too. So it has a fairly low bar to get over. You're at key support. I'm not going to gather on whether the numbers are good or not, but I'll just say if the numbers are okay, you could see a relief rally in this thing, if they're even okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, they also raised prices last week. So I'm sure they'll talk about that. Let's go to China here, Dennis, because every single Chinese stock, it seems like, is trading higher this morning because the People's Bank of China overnight came out and they cut their overnight lending rates, basically. They lowered their – or not overnight, but they lowered the one-year loan prime rate by 10 bips from 3.8% to 3.7%. Every Chinese stock is trading higher because, hey, it's easier and cheaper to borrow money. Growth, growth, growth. And we got Baba, we got JD. You can go the FXI. Everything is trading higher. Let's zoom out, though. Are you still on the maybe buy camp in some of these names?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Buying dips, not rips. Today you get a rip, so I wouldn't be buying today. I'm still on the Baidu. It's the only one I held. I bought JD and Baidu. I sold the JD because it went up 25% in 5 days, and I'm like, that's just a ring the register opportunity in this market. Obviously, should have rebought it because it came all the way back down, you know, 6-7 points from where I sold it. Now it's moving right back up to those levels. I kept the Baidu, BIDU. I like the Baba. I like all these. I think the lows are in. I think the valuations have gotten cheap enough that the lows are in. The only risk is that, you know, China starts to obviously, you know, this is doing the opposite. I mean, it looks like it's going to be helping their securities for once. So this is a good change of the bad investors' taste here, where they actually do something to help their companies along here. So I think it's a good sign. I think I'd be buying pullbacks on. And if you're looking at areas to buy, I like Mark's call with some of those stocks that he was mentioning, but I think looking at stocks, the emerging markets is a place to look right now on pullbacks.
Wow. All right. Yeah, I guess
I was saying that week or two ago, I bought some. They've come up quite a bit from there, but on pullbacks, again.
Keyword there that I fail to hear often is on pullbacks. That's the key.
Yeah, like and go into, because you're interested in Sony here, and Sony has had a serious pullback.
Yeah, yeah. Sony's had a you know, big pullback here, so it's up in the pre-market now. You know, we're up. We were at at 110 yesterday, so we're at 114 now. So we're up 3% overnight. Yeah. So this is when I was sort of eyeing. I've just been watching it the last couple of days. It's gotten crushed. And so I thought, all right, I maybe want to come in here and buy the dip. But Dennis is trying to say I should wait for another down day, or at least wait till it flush back to like 110 rather than buy it.
Yeah, it's up $4 here today. I mean, I think the 110 level now is a level you could lean on. I don't like buying rips. I mean, if you really think you're going to miss it, it's going to go right back to 120, 125. There's so much overhead supply there, though. So I look at this and think, well, if it gets back to 120, it's probably a selling opportunity. So you're buying it $5 up from where it just closed. I mean, I think you'll get another shot at 110. You know, but sometimes you don't. I mean, I thought I was going to get another shot at JP Morgan way back when it was $30, and Joel talked me out of buying it, and obviously went higher. So sometimes you do miss them. I always just think, even if I miss it, there's always another train ready to leave the station. Hey, so I'd wait for a pullback.
Can I get some fundamental color on Sony here? This is courtesy of Wedbush. So there, you know, obviously Sony's down because of the Activision deal with Microsoft, right? And the implications of that. Sales of Activision to Sony are only about 6% of Sony's game segment revenue and 3% of their profits. There is very little near-term earnings impact for Sony on this Activision. Well, of course, there's no near-term implication because the deal won't close for a year. So there's probably no impact for at least a year until the deal even closes. And here's a comment from Sony itself. This is their first public comment on this. They said, "We expect that Microsoft will abide by contractual agreements and continuing to ensure Activision games are multi-platform." Okay, I'm for it. I'm eyeing Sony is the takeaway here. I haven't bought it yet, but hey, if Take-Two can do what it did, you look at that Take-Two chart. If it can do what it did, Sony can do that too. You know what I mean?
I sold half my Take-Two yesterday, so I've had Take-Two in the long term portfolio for a long time. It closed the gap. It was a ridiculous sell off. So we know I've owned Zynga and Take-Two. Zynga got sold. I sold half my Take-Two yesterday too. I'm lightening stuff up. So I continue to sell into rallies, and that's in the long-term portfolio. So I'm just continuing to raise cash. And I may be wrong, but I mean, the stock just came back from 138 to 160. I think I sold 160. It got to 168 yesterday, the 30-point rally in 6 days. I mean, I think I sold at one. It was up 10 when I sold it. So I don't know what that was, like maybe 165, 166 right in there. So, I mean, I just come back so much so fast, fills the gap, the technical sell all the way. If you're buying Take-Two now,
No. You don't buy it now. You definitely don't
buy it. That's why I was looking. I think I'll get it back. So I think I'll get it back. I think I'll get it back in the lower 140s. I got to remember to buy it, though. But anyway, I only sold half.
Someone just mentioned Corsair. How is that doing?
These have been beat up, and this is sitting right on support.
Today. Yeah, it's up 4% today, so it's early, but...
That's a bad. Well, no, 21-23. You're right. It is up 4% today. That's not even a bad tick. It's widespread. You got huge support there. I mean, some of the Cathy stocks, you know, not that this is a Cathy stock, but I throw it in that category. You know, the retail driven Twitter, you know, whatever it is. Everybody's been talking about this one for a while. I think you got support at $20. So if you want to take a shot, lots of support here. 1974. My concern, it's been down here so long that they don't usually give you a chance to buy the bottom this many times. So usually it's going to eventually take it out. There's a lot of people bottom fishing in this, but it's still holding. And support is support until it's broken. 20 is critical support. If I was going long here right now, I would stop myself out the low of the move, which is 1974.
Dennis, you want to see a stock that we never talk about anymore, but we used to?
Sure.
WW.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I looked at it the other day, and it's getting downgraded.
Remember when it was above 100? It's
bubbles when bubbles burst.
It's $12.
Yeah. When your stock goes from 13 to 100, you sell it. When your stock goes, let me repeat this. When your stock goes from 13 to 100 in 1 year and you're up 800% in 1 year, you sell it. And you know what? If you don't sell it, you'll lose it all. and it all came back. So, I mean, there is so many investors that if your stock goes up 1,000% over the course of 10 years, maybe it grew into that. WW just didn't all of a sudden become the company. I mean, 2017, and that's just the craziest move. And then you had, you know, 2019, 2020. It's kept trying to come back, but it was the Oprah effect, right? When Oprah was getting on board.
Yeah. You can actually see the candle here. Let's go to the chart. There is a giant gap in the fall of 2015. I'm 90% sure that was the day that Oprah joined the board of Weight Watchers, and stock went in one day. It doubled or tripled in one day, right? So anyway, it's down again this morning. I just thought I'd bring that up. And then another one that caught my eye here, and this is a good lesson in buying IPOs, is Casper CSPR. So that merger, that acquisition, they're getting taken private. That acquisition got approved by shareholders. So that's going to go through. And this is a lesson in buying IPOs. And then the company, the stock now is getting taken over for at half the valuation it was when it went public. You know what I mean? So the stock went an IPO to the opening tick was $14.50, and now we're selling for six and change today, right? So it's a lesson in buying IPOs. It's
also a lesson in buying a stock just because you think it might get taken over. Because in some cases, you sit around for these takeovers and the stocks continue to leak. It's like, oh, but it's a takeover candidate. And then eventually it gets taken over, and it gets taken over at a price way lower than you originally bought it. Buy good companies with good fundamentals.
Zynga too.
Zynga's an example of that. Yeah. It is. I got lucky because I cut out when it broke through 10 and then I reloaded at 7. But I took some heat on that. I went to 550. So, and you know, obviously I get taken out at, you know, 9 or whatever it was. But I mean, it wasn't, you know, a fun ride, and a lot of people probably bought this at 10, and you know, it got taken out at 9. It's like, well, that still sucks. I still lost money. Mm-hmm. So,
All right, it is 8.
It's a tough market environment right now. We're not in 2020 anymore. And again, I just want to reiterate what I was saying before. I mean, everybody goes back to 2020 saying, "I was doing so well in 2020. I know I can start doing well again because I've done it before." But remember, the market was gifting profits in 2020. If you were a long only trader, you could do no wrong. This is what trading is really about. Chop. This is a real trading environment. This is not an exception to the rule. People think that 2022, it's like, well, this is just, you know, that's a pullback, and eventually we're going to go back to 2020 trading. I've traded for 22 years. I've seen a lot of different markets, and 2020 was another animal. I was even saying that back then. I was like, this is not normal. It's not normal to watch a stock go up. You know, I even joked. I bought Glue Mobile at like 6, and I got taken out at like 12. And I was like, I actually probably underperformed a lot because a lot of my other stocks went up 300%. Yeah. I mean, and that was just the environment it was in. 2020 was just silly from a swing trading perspective and an investing perspective. That was not a normal environment. Everything got way oversold because of COVID in March of 2020, and it created one of the best buying opportunities of all time. And then it just got silly and overextended, and they obviously started buying everything. And it all ended, you know, back in February of 2021. That's when most of the stocks topped out, and we've been going down ever since. So just, you know, remember that trading is a game where you get 10, 15% on something, you know, like in this environment, I think you got to be booking the gains, because this is not 2020, and I don't think we're going back into this rip your face off rally and we're going to S&P 7,000 this year. I don't think that's happening. I might be wrong, but I don't think we're in that environment anymore.
I mean, it's, you always say, you know, maybe not you, but people say it's a pendulum. We went crazy one way, went crazy the other way. Now we're, you know, the amplitude's getting smaller, right? It's doing that, right? And we're just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So anyway,
we do some ticker time?
Yeah, ticker time. Sorry, I got distracted here for a second. And to those asking, yes, I'm out of my DWAC.
That pulled back down.
Stop. That was a train wreck of a trade, but what are you going to do? It happens. Totally
chasing. And we can learn. I love learning from other people's mistakes, because usually I have to learn from my own mistakes. So the one thing you did wrong there was really chasing it.
Well, no. The one thing I did wrong was not listening to myself. I had a plan. I ignored my plan. I called an audible. Never call an audible. Never call an audible. That was the mistake. I screwed the pooch horribly on that one because we got down. I had a sell stop in place. It was like 81.50, and we got close to it. And I thought, you know what? Cancel the sell stop. I'm going to ride this thing out. That was the mistake. But yes, chasing was also not great. Okay.
You've sold out of it now?
Yeah, about. Okay. So wait, do we talk about Ford already, right?
I know Mark said he'd be buying Ford. I wouldn't be buying Ford here now. I've been in it for a long time. I'm probably holding on to it because I do believe Mark is right that this is going to be a major player in EV and its valuation is actually not expensive. And I think they're going to have the number one selling EV vehicle in the Lightning. I want to buy one myself. I probably will buy one myself.
They look so good, don't they?
Yeah, I probably will buy it. The vehicle too. So I'm probably holding my Ford, but that was an ugly candle yesterday. I'd be selling into strength if I had it on for a swing trade. Because that's a breaking candle where now you've got bag holders from 24 to 25 looking to get their money back. So I think on strength, we get back up, maybe get a little rally in the overall market. Today we get a downgrade, so it's leaking here again. You get these Johnny-come-lately analysts that wait for the first down candle, and they're like, okay, now strike, it's starting to show some relative weakness, and they do. I'd be a seller of rallies in it now, although I don't know if I will because my cost basis is 7, and I don't want to realize the tax.
We got Jason Razick in the chat. I can't tell if he's saying good morning or GM as in like General Motors, but I'm going to assume he's saying General Motors.
Same thing. I'd be a seller of rallies in the General Motors.
Jason Razick, the people want to know when you're coming back on the show. Jason, you have an open invitation. Come back to us, Jason.
I know. He never comes on the show anymore.
I don't know where he is.
He's out there. He's gone. He's already left. Yeah, he's so busy, man. That guy is just busy. He's everywhere. He's so busy.
Someone just dropped Caterpillar in the chat. Sure, we can look at Caterpillar.
Oh. Breaking candle yesterday. Sell rallies. Value is to be sold on rallies, in my opinion, now. You had the nice run-up. Everybody's hiding value stocks. And all of a sudden, they pulled the rug out from under those yesterday. I think, and also, not coincidence, it went ex-dividend yesterday. I always say stock strong ahead of ex-dividend. Week after, probably caught some dividend capture traders in there too. So all the reason in the world to sell CAT and the strength. So if you get a little rally in CAT, which you're getting a buck here this morning, a couple more bucks, I'd sell it.
What would you sell ExxonMobil?
Let me bring up the chart.
It's amazing.
Oil hasn't really broke yet, though, even yesterday. So I'd be scared. Like, I mean, it's a big move for ExxonMobil. I have a small day trading position in it, too. So full disclosure, and I will be exiting that day. It's a very small position.
Okay.
So I'll just say from a longer-term perspective, maybe you're holding it from a swing trading perspective. It's a pretty good move. 60 to 73, that's talking like 15% in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 days. It's overextended. So I'd be tight on my stops here.
I'm going through the chat. There's many tickers flying. I'm trying to find ones we don't. Okay, Spotify. I look at this like once a week or so, not super often.
Man, it goes down every day. Every day the stock goes down.
Not this morning. So you would sell that pop this morning.
They're so bloody oversold. I'm more inclined to short value right now, believe it or not.
Really?
Than the growth.
That goes against what we've been saying for the last 3 months.
Yeah, I know. What did we got to change? The value's been working. All this money's been working. I think right now, I think value broke yesterday. I think you got to sell your value names into strength right now. Wow. So, yeah, I ring the register on the value names right now. This is how we go on the show. You got to watch the show every single day because we're going to change our opinions. Value's just come up too much. It's worked for too long. So I think the trades are crowded now. The Berkshire Hathaway break, that candle is an ugly candle yesterday. And that's my indicator that all the value names should be sold on strength. They all broke down yesterday. It was the value that led the charge down yesterday, not growth. So I'm more inclined to short value stocks right now into strength than growth stocks because the value stocks are overbought. The growth stocks are oversold. I don't like shorting oversold things because you get those rip your face off rallies. You're not going to get a rip your face off rally in Caterpillar because it's already had the rip your face off rally. So it's safer, believe it or not, to short value right now than it is to short growth.
Wait,
that's the trader talking.
Red or wrong with the comment of the day. So you agree with Kathy Wood, Dennis?
Kind of right now. You know what? All of a sudden, she was 2 months early saying there's a bubble in value. I'm kind of leaning towards her now. She keeps saying it enough. Eventually, there will be a bubble in value. I mean, it's went up. Value stocks went straight up, for the last month and a half. Berkshire Hathaway. This is a huge move. Burke has went in 10 trading days, went from 300 to almost 330. I mean, 324. You're talking, that's a big 8-9% move straight up in 2022. I think they're exhausted. Am I thinking the long-term value trade is over? No, I think there's still some money in the long-term value. But if I'm a short-term swing trader, yesterday's candle makes me nervous to hold those value stocks. I'm not saying buy ARK either. I don't know. I'd love to, and there's going to be a buying ARK. I've tried it already. I keep trying it. I mean, if you're buying ARK, you got to stop yourself out of the low again. Stop yourself out of yesterday's low. But there's no candle. There's nothing to say that this isn't continuing to go lower and the valuations are still crazy and everything she holds.
I don't even know. I don't even know. Like,
I'm not buying stocks right now at all.
I know. Really? That seems to be the takeaway today. So,
yeah, okay. I'm not really buying anything.
Not buying anything.
Not really. I've been selling into strength. And
you know what's funny? I definitely expected SoFi to give back all its gains yesterday. And at least for a day, it held, which is super interesting. So
I'm definitely not saying buy growth. I'm not buying anything right now. I'm buying nothing because I think we still got some pain ahead. I think the S&P party has just started. I mean, this 450 is critical. So you got trades, day trading, buying stocks all the time. I'll buy 100 stocks today. I will also short 100 stocks today. Day trading, I'm always trading. But my swing trading, it's empty. The swing trading portfolio is empty. Zero. When we were in 2020, I had like 50 swing longs on. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. No swing trades on. Still my long-term investment portfolio. Swing trading portfolio is just empty because you know what? It might add some value shorts in there though. Like I will shorten my swing trading portfolio too, but it's always, you know, I always do better on the long side on the swing trades. The day trading, you know, because I can manage it better, the shorts. I feel like I do lots of shorting in my day trading portfolio. So right now, swing portfolio completely empty. Not buying really anything. Just kind of watching. But on my watch list, Unity Software is still there. I tried to buy it the other day, stopped out. So, I mean, I thought it was going to be a hero and try to buy it at that low, that 114 low. Well, I made it and cut it through. So, I mean, that's, you know, stocks make new lows. You got to go. You got to stick to those rules. But I'm going to keep trying and I'll try Unity again. And maybe I'm going to continue to chop myself up. But right now, I think you're out just selling into strength right now.
I just had a name I was going to bring up. Oh, no, that's what it was. I really just want to keep my eyes glued to the same three charts today, more so than usual, the SPY, the Qs, and the IWM, mostly because the IWM is in full-on breakdown here. The QQQ, obviously down 10% from the highs, is notable. You can see, for whatever, I know that Dennis doesn't care, but we are at the 200-day moving average right now, so that's an interesting level to be at. And I just want to see if the SPY follows suit, right? You've got two of the four major indexes breaking down here. SPY also going the same way, but not quite to the same extent. Does it follow? That's where my eyes will be today.
We're a bit oversold on them now. Like when I sold QQQs, it was 389. You notice what, you know, you've got to take your time horizon. So right now, if you're selling and going short, you're selling on the dip. Even, you know, like I know we have a 4-point rally. So you say, okay, I'm going to sell into that because the Qs are up this morning. But, you know, you just got to look in perspective and look at the, you know, where I sold. So you can see in my longer term portfolio, which I never usually sell the QQQs out of there, but I sold some of them for the simple reason is that I thought there's more pain ahead. When we went from 370 to 390, I was like, this is just textbook. This 390 is textbook resistance. And then the next candle was like right there that morning, not getting through it. I was like, I feel like we're going to roll over. And I couldn't have timed it better. I literally sold like a 389 on my Qs. And we were like 381 later that afternoon. Now we're 366. So it's hard to just say this is the bottom because it's hitting the 200-day moving average. But is this a bounce opportunity in there? There's going to be little bounces all over the place. I think path of least resistance still lower the long term.
All right, it's 9:01. I believe Peter Tuchman will be joining us today. He was feeling under the weather last week, but he's better now, or so I'm told. So I'm going to hang out for a few minutes and wait for Peter. And I think we covered a lot of tickers. If we didn't get to your ticker, here's what I'll say. Our very next show is basically in two hours of ticker time, right? Live trading with Benzinga, you know, Ryan, Mitch, Junaid, they're doing their own thing, but they're also looking at the chat constantly and seeing what you are talking about, and they will look at what you want to look at. So stay tuned for that. That'll be after this show. Also wanted to say that, hey, this platform that's up on the screen, it's called Benzinga Pro. We use it every day. It's free. There's a free 2-week trial for everybody. If you have not, at the very least, checked out the free 2-week trial, you really, really, really should. The link, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It's pro.benzinga.com. We do offer discounts. BZ25 is available as a discount code to get 25% off. I believe that's the discount code. I'll confirm that. You can always message me or email us at shows@benzinga.com if you have any questions about that or any questions or feedback in general. But again, Benzinga Pro, check it out. Highly, highly recommend. We scanners, news, screeners, signals, halts, squawk, calendars, the gamut, right? All the things you need to trade during the day. So check that out at one point. Dennis, I know you're in a fast market out there, so I appreciate you hanging out. And have a good rest of your day. Have fun. Have fun buying and selling today, Dennis.
That's what I do.
That's what he does. All right. I'm going to hang out for a few minutes and give Peter some time. I hope he joins us today, because if he doesn't, that'll be sad, because it'll be 2 weeks in a row that he bailed, and that would be not great for me and my psyche. In the meantime, what I will do is I will grovel for likes. So how are we doing on the likes for today? We've got, Peter says 2 seconds. Awesome. 309 likes now. Can we get to 400? By the end of Peter's segment, I think we can do it. Doesn't cost you anything. Maybe it costs you a second of your life, but it helps us. It sounds dumb. I really do feel dumb saying it, but it does help in the eyes of the YouTube algorithm that rules my life. It does help. So I appreciate all likes. Hey, and you can dislike us too. That's fine. I'd much rather you give us feedback. I'd much rather you email us, right? Here's the email. Questions, comments, concerns, guests you want to hear from. You want to come on the show? Email us. Any questions. We respond to emails. shows@benzinga.com. Seriously, I cannot say that enough. What else did I want to say? Oh, yeah. You know what I should probably plug? Coming up this Saturday is our next Benzinga boot camp. Let me get you the link right now. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Our website is not. Maybe it's my computer. I think it's my computer being slow right now. There's the link. Okay. January 22nd, which is in 2 days. I'm putting the link in the chat. There it is in the chat. And I'm going to put it on the screen as well. There's the link to learn more. Okay. 9 to 5 all day. This Saturday, Luke will be there. Hot Stocks Luke. Neil Hamilton will be there. Those of you keep saying that you miss Neil, you miss Neil. Neil will be there on Saturday. Anne-Marie Band will be there. Chris Capri will be there. We have several Benzinga experts. Nick Shaheen will be there. So full day. The agenda is on that page. It's on the screen. So check it out. Seriously, we're doing these every month. And so this month is going to be Saturday, and it's a fantastic event. Fantastic event. I may even stop by for a few. All right. That being said, let's bring on Peter Tuchman, the Einstein of Wall Street. Peter, what's up, man? How are we doing?
Good to hear about boot camps. It's really the only answer to this kind of a wild, crazy market is really to just be diligent, be a student of the market on a daily basis. What's up there, what's up, Spencer?
Well, what are you seeing out there? I keep going back to the overall, indexes. You know, the Qs breaking down, the Russell breaking down. And I'm curious just your overall thoughts, and also just the feeling. I mean, you're not there now, but the feeling on the floor these days.
I think there's a lot of curiosity. I think there's a lot of anxiety. To be perfectly honest, I sit with a number of gentlemen who are trading some big size from some institutions and some major portfolio traders. And, they are in a bit of a quandary as the way the market is acting, the fragility of the market, the reversal we saw yesterday, every day's wild, volatile movements. We've got to pay attention. The market's gotten my attention, right? You've got days where, look, we've seen bigger highs and bigger lows. We've seen rotations, corrections, sell-offs, and all these different things. But the amount of moving parts that are that are sort of in the nooks and crannies of the economics of this, right? To try and really understand, you know, the effect on the four interest rates next year is going to have on the high growth stocks, the effect of all of this on the bank stocks, the sort of mushy first step releases of the earnings for the quarter. You know, the treasuries and whatnot. So there's a lot of economic stuff going on. There's some bits of news today, you know, about jobless claims and whatnot. And just look, let's just analyze the price action of the market. You know, I don't think there's a playbook once again for what we're seeing. I don't think anybody could purport to be that smart to look at all this economic info that we're being barraged with, plus Omicron, plus the challenges to wages and inflation, plus, you know, I mean, think about it. On any given day, there is so much stuff going on right now, and it's reflecting in the price action. I'm not clear that people who are trading the market, whether they're investing long-term, taking on new positions, you know, buying stocks that have been pretty frothy and they have a shopping list and they're trying to invest for the future, or the wild millions of new traders, have any idea what's going on. And that's reflected in the price action of the market. Some of these moves, for no particular reason, yesterday's move at 2 o'clock, you know, I was more of the school that 2 o'clock was going to be a bit of a pop, right? We had $1 billion to buy. The market felt like it was ready to sort of take off, and it just went straight down, and it kept going down. It was almost like a whale was selling the S&P 500 from 2 to 250, and it felt broken, and it was setting itself up for a huge reversal in a day. Today, we're having an early morning bounce back, as far as I can see. But we are seeing from one day to the next 500-point moves. We're starting to see some volatility that we haven't seen since, you know, that post-Omicron release of Thanksgiving, where every day is throwing you something different. Is it bottom feeding? You know, who's winning out? Are, you know, the bulls winning out or the bears winning out? Where, you know, are there people bottom fishing? Are people covering shorts? Are people putting on a heavy sell side bet for the future? Is there option layoff stuff? You know, I'm it's got my attention. I'm just trying to understand.
Peter, we have a Fed meeting next week, next Tuesday and Wednesday. So let's just assume the Fed sticks to the script and they say that, yep, they've finished with the taper, and they've had more discussions about the unwinding of their balance sheet or the runoff. And yeah, now that we have a clear path for rates going forward. I'm not going to say they're going to raise rates next week, but let's just say that they reiterate that guidance they've already given. If they stick to the script with all that, is the market cool with that?
I'm not sure. To be perfectly honest, I'm really not clear about that.
Yeah. You know,
I think that the way that the decision-making process of why people are getting into long, look, the majority of the market are people investing other people's large sums of money. There's a lot of AUMs around in the billions and billions of dollars, and they have an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not in their pocket to understand their opinion or presume or predict it, right? And I'm not there to understand or presume to and predict how they're going to position themselves in this new world relative to a four interest rate raises next it's this year, but it feels like it's going to be next year. I'm not sure how the market will react.
Okay.
To perform is the word I wanted to use. When the taper starts really taking effect, you know, the timeline increases. There are moving parts here. Yeah. So I have to say, I don't know. I mean, that is the best answer. And I don't think that's a wrong answer. You know, I think there are a lot of people out there who think they know what's going on. I think they've been proven wrong every day in the first 15 days of friggin' January. We see volatility is really here to stay. Earnings seem a little bit weaker. You know, the Fed meeting, it will be, once again, you and I have spoken about it many Wednesdays, you know, that the market reaction will be of one of gyration as different people with different opinions react to how they interpret this stuff. There's so many, not only are there moving parts economically, but there are moving parts in that how people will position themselves, how they will react, and how the market will perform around all this fascinating, huge, huge information, right? It's a huge deal. Going from 0-0-0 in the midst of a pandemic, we still have a pandemic, we're going to rise interest rates, into a market that's really kind of in a bit of a quandary on its own. Tech already in bullish territory in the first 2 weeks of 2022, right? Some rotations, some corrections, wild volatile moves in individual names. I think people are really scurrying to try and figure out, what do I do? If I was to think about it, Spencer, if you had $1 billion or you had $400 billion or $100 million to manage right now, where would you be? How would you be? What would your P&L look like for the month, for the year, right? How did you come out of last year? I mean, I think people are a bit skittish, a bit anxious. I think they're scurrying around trying to figure this out. Because in the old days, there was somewhat of a predictatorial way to manage assets, right? You know, understand the economics of it all. And it's beyond me, man. And I've been around for a while.
Peter Tuckman, Einstein of Wall Street. Link to his trading course is in the description. Can't recommend that enough. Peter, a pleasure as always. Glad you're feeling better. And keep up.
Thanks, buddy. Everyone should be forever a student of the market. Go check out the boot camp on Benzinga. Go check out Wall Street Global Trading Academy. Technical analysis and risk management are the only defense against this volatility, guys.
Good parting words. Good parting words. Okay, we got to hop here. Live trading with Benzinga starting up in like 2 minutes. I got to hop before that. So everyone, you know what to do. Hit that like button. Hit subscribe. Thank you to Peter. Thank you to Mark. Thanks to all of you in our chat. Please remember that all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. We're done. Live trading starting now-ish. I'm going to hop off. Let's go make some money today. Have a good one, everyone. Good luck at the open.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.